day, so by the time I come home, I'm exhausted. It's not that I don't want to answer questions about the house renovation. I really just don't want to answer questions about anything.
But you know, you may just be shutting your mind off, but it can feel like you're shutting your partner off as well. Again, that's a caution area. And just as a point of interest, when you speak that way, David, you're really deprioritizing your teammate.
Excuse me?
It's called crossing emotional boundaries, or more commonly, bulldozing. And it's ugly. Ronnie, when you spoke earlier, let me just find it in my notes here. There it is. You said we make it through things well together. That doesn't sound very fun. You don't want to look back and say, I made it through my life. We want to enjoy our projects, enjoy our work week. We want to enjoy our lives, celebrate our lives. And all this talk about my project and his work and my this and his that and mine and his and mine and his, it's, where's us in all that? Where is our journey? I don't hear it. And it's because it's not there.
Listen, I'm not saying that there's not some really stressful times sometimes, because there is, but it works for us.
Does it? I don't know. Oh gosh, I don't know, you guys. There's no us, there's no we. You two could be perfect strangers. I think the one thing that we can agree on today is that you guys should be doing a lot better than just works. Pretty sure that's why you're here. Oh, that's it. Great, great job, everybody.
Who is the therapist in the room? Could you imagine if you started laughing at your notes? You look down, you're like, I'm sorry, guys. What were we talking about?
How many of you guys have seen that movie? It's called Couples Retreat. Most of you. It's so funny, right?
It is such a great movie.
So that's actually, we thought that was such a great clip to talk about today, because I think that here they are, they're on a retreat. They're thinking, we're going to have fun, we're going to connect, right? We don't have any problems. And they're realizing they actually have more problems than they do. They're a little bit more disconnected than they think they are. She's really into the kids and the house projects, and he's doing work and all that stuff. And so I know with all of you that have young kiddos, and I know we've got some mentors too. Yay for the mentors. Woo, raise your hand if you're the mentor moms. Is that what you guys call them, mentor moms? Yeah, everybody needs a mentor. We have mentors. Thank you for being here too. It's really hard to find connection with little kids, right? Like when you're parenting young kids, it's really hard. So we get married and we want to grow old together. We want to laugh. We want to make new memories with our spouse. We want to raise a family together, right? But then things get in the way. Life gets hard. Disconnection happens. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to get you guys some quick ways to connect with your spouse, even if you're really tired and really busy, okay?
Yeah. The thing is that you guys were all connected at one point as a couple. And we're going to really hone in on connection today and really giving you guys the quick wins and really two mindsets to focus in on connection. And in this room this size, I got to know there's some of you that are probably doing really well in your marriage. And you're probably going to be like, yes, yes, I feel very affirmed because that's my North Star. And some of you may be feeling a little bit lost and confusion. It was funny because as we're like having this like spa moment, like, oh, yes, let's breathe in. And all of a sudden, the chaos just like enters in. And I think that that's kind of what happens, is, especially in this season. You know, you guys were once well connected, but then kids, and they're just nonstop. Careers, mortgages, bills, routines, and things kind of just get in the way because you're just putting out flames and fires everywhere, that sometimes we can lose that sense of connection with this person who means the world to us, right? We said that they're the number one person, but then while you're doing life together, it's kind of like you can be kind of oriented in different directions. And I think once the glow of the wedding wears off, right, the novelty wears off, reality sets in, and I think we just kind of start doing our own thing. And it's not on purpose. It's never on purpose. No one wakes up and says, you know, I think I'm going to orient away from you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just ignore my spouse today. Yeah.
And what's really frustrating for me, when Megan and I, the least likely to succeed in marriage, you know, we hated each other because we started to grow disconnected. And what was frustrating was that was the last thing that I wanted, but I didn't have any tools. I didn't have the right mindset on how to get us back on track.
And I don't know if you ladies relate to this, but I remember getting married and I felt like duped, like tricked. Like you made all this effort. You went out of your way to plan date nights. You did all these things. You were so romantic when we were dating and engaged. And then now we're married with the kids. It's like, where's that guy that wooed me all those years? I don't know if any head nods, anybody feel that sometimes? Yeah, I know I'm not the only one. But it's hard. And again, it wasn't that we intentionally woke up saying, we're just not going to make time for our marriage. But that's what happens when couples say they fell out of love.
Ooh.
We have done so much studies and research on this. That's what that means, is that they were not intentional and they were slowly growing apart. And that's what happened to us.
Yeah. So 2023 research project went out on studying loneliness. And they discovered over 50% of Americans experienced acute pains of loneliness. And they measured that the health ramifications of loneliness are worse than smoking and drinking combined in diabetes. So loneliness is really impacting our health. And, you know, I think it's one thing to feel lonely while being single, right? Maybe you can think back to when you were single and it was like, oh, you went to bed by yourself and it was just like, oh, I wish I had somebody with me, a companion to do life with. It's another thing when you're married and lonely, because that's confusing. Because I thought we were doing this as a life, like a happily ever after, like we were doing life as a team. So.
All right, so the good news is we're not going to just be.
Sorry.
You guys are all, wow, okay, this is great.
Hey,
this is
good morning.
Marriage speakers, yeah. We're going to give you some good positive things, some practical things, like Rachel said, I promise. And if you're taking notes or if you have a notes page out, we want to give you two essential mindsets. Now, this is like, we have a lot of friends that are marriage and family therapists. We have a lot of friends who've done research. We've been in this space for over 12 years. These two essential mindsets are exactly what, if you have these, you'll actually have a healthy relationship. Like, there's proven science, and scripture talks about it too, which is pretty cool. It's almost like God knew what he was doing when he wrote the Bible, you know? All right, and the first one is this, curiosity.
Ooh.
Curiosity.
Curiosity as a mindset. Curiosity is this strong desire to get to know something or someone. It's a desire. Curiosity is this desire, and desire is the spark of it all. It's this thirst that you have to understand this person, and really desire is the energy that brings us to a place of like, hey, I want to know you. How many of you have ever done a cold plunge? Just raise your hand if you ever done a cold plunge. Proud. Wow. Yes. How many minutes? Anybody go longer than 2 minutes? Anybody?
Yeah.
Yes, Allison. What?
That's pretty good.
Okay. All right. So about 2 years ago, I was on like an executive, like a business leader's retreat, and they're like, okay, we're going to do cold plunges. And this was actually after we did like a whole breath work stuff. So
for the breath work. Whoever led us, that was rad.
And I was slightly terrified because I had these big troughs filled with ice, and it was...
And you're in front of, like, a bunch of strangers. Like, your first time, everyone's watching you.
And, I mean, you stick your hand in it, and you're like, oh, that's really cold. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have the social pressure. Everyone's staring at. I had to get in, and, I mean, it was a shock, and it was like, hey, you know. But once I got done with the whole process, like, I mean, there was a massive surge of energy. I felt clear. I felt like almost like a hard restart. It was like, wow, this is amazing. And it was curiosity or a desire to learn, like, what just happened back there? And it was that desire to know about like the health benefits of plunging that made me start listening to podcasts and talking to people. And eventually I bought my own cold plunge.
So now we have one.
So now we have one. And Megan does
too.
Cold plunges as well.
My longest is 10 minutes. So, but that was last week when it was like 100 degrees outside because it's outside. And I was like, this just feels so good. I'm so sick of being hot. And
yeah, but it was like 40 degrees.
Yeah. Oh,
40
yeah.
degrees.
But he did such a deep dive where like on his Instagram, like the algorithm knew, you know how they know, like right now, you guys are all going to get ads on cold plunges today, right? He was getting ads and then I was That's getting amazing. Ads and he did a deep dive, but it really showed he was curious. And we were thinking about like the amount of energy and time he did to figure out this cold plunge thing. What if we use that same amount of energy to be curious about our spouse? Mm. What would that look like, right? Because being curious in marriage rebuilds trust. It shows that you want to learn about your spouse's fears, thoughts, concerns, desires, personality, struggles, hopes, dreams, all of it. It shows you care. I still care about you. I cared about when you were dating and when we were married, and now we have kids. I actually still care about you because I'm curious to get to know you. So here's a little bit of our story for those of you who don't know. Back on August 25th, 2001, two weeks before September 11th is when we met. Met this really cute guy in a coffee shop. He came and, asked me my name. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. 2001
Check
cold.
Out those bleach yeah. tips, yeah?
Yeah.
Guys like the bleach tips?
It's like the boy band style was really in, you know? I thought it was super cute.
And
anyways.
And the oversized leather jacket. You guys remember that?
Well, no, because you're a dude. No. No. But, so we started getting to know each other. And we asked questions like, oh my gosh, where were you raised? And tell me about your family. And, you know, oh, we met at Vanguard University. Anyone from Vanguard? Woo-woo. Yeah. Oh, we got one in the house. That's where we met in college, Costa Mesa. And not too far from here. And we were, what was your major? And all these things. And we found each other curious. So we kept on getting to know each other and we kept asking questions about each other, right? So much so that we thought, well, this is a really cool person. Let's do this forever, right? And we get married. And like Casey mentioned, within 3 years of our relationship, we were heading towards divorce. We grew to hate each other. I mean, hate each other.
It was
a couple
bad.
Standing up here, we hated each other. We fought, you guys, we were the worst fighters ever. We had debt, we had in-law issues. I mean, you name it. You know, not only to mention that we all live in Orange County, which has the highest divorce rate in the nation, 72%. That's against us as well, right? Divorce is normal here. And did you guys not know that? Oh, yeah, sorry.
So
I thought everybody knew that, but I guess not.
I think my mom skews the ratio up. My mom's actually been married six times.
Six times.
Can anybody beat that?
So, well, they're not going to raise. Oh. Your dad's been married seven. Maybe they know each other. What's
yeah.
his name? No, I'm just kidding.
We
did should
we
talk
grow
after.
Up together?
Yeah. Maybe they were married. Maybe he was husband five because husband five only lasted like 6 months. I don't know. We'll see.
Seven times.
Seven times. Dang.
I'm so sorry.
Hey, I mean, we always say she believes in marriage. I guess that's a good thing. But we had everything against us. All that to say, I begged him to go to therapy. I begged him to read marriage books. He wouldn't go. He said that I was the problem. I thought that he was the problem. So I remember sitting in my therapist's couch and I'm going on and on about how bad my husband is and why we're here is all his fault. And she basically, in a nutshell, told me two really great things. She said, if you want to make a better marriage, make a better you, which is our tagline for Marriage 365. It starts with making a better you. Megan, you have zero control over your husband and what he says and does and whatnot, which I tried to control him.
Yeah.
And, the second thing she said is, you know, have you done everything and anything you can to save your marriage so you don't live with regret? And I knew my answer was no. And so my first homework assignment from her, she specialized, by the way, my therapist, in working with individual spouses, not couples. This was her jam. This is why I went to her. And my first homework assignment was to get curious about my husband again. It's so crazy to think how this is in full circle, is that go home and start learning. Because she'd say, well, why do you think your husband's angry? And I go, I don't know. Well, you know, why do you think that sometimes he gives you the silent treatment? Well, I don't know. And she's like, sounds like you need to get curious. You have to start learning about your husband and why he's showing up the way he is. And so that was my first homework assignment, was to get to know Casey. And it, again, just like we did when we were dating, because the Casey I knew then is definitely struggling and different than the Casey I knew now at that point.
Yeah. So what does this look like from a practical standpoint? What does getting curious look like inside your relationship? It starts by this: asking open-ended questions. Yeah. Asking open-ended questions. In fact, research shows that the number one way to build emotional intimacy, closeness, to get to know somebody, and I know I'm stating kind of the obvious, but is to ask them open-ended questions. Open-ended questions are not, they're not yes or no questions. They're actually questions that unlock a conversation. Describe something to me. Tell me more about why you did this. Tell me more about your motivations, your desires, your dreams, your hopes, your fears. This unlocks new knowledge. Now, curiosity, right? The spark, the desire, is what allows us to ask really good questions. Mm-hmm. When we're dating someone and you're just like, man, I really want to get to know you, it's because I desire.
Yeah.
I desire her.
Yeah.
Now, the fade, the glow wanes, and then we get into really boring questions. And for the husbands that I wish were here, not really. Dad, this is mom come. Okay, if I was talking to husbands, these are the questions that I asked when I came home. How was your day? What's for dinner? Can we have sex?
Pretty much almost every single night.
Those are my open-ended questions. And what happened was we just got stuck in a rut.
It was boring.
It was boring questions.
It was boring. It's like, is this, it's like very mundane. You
yes.
know? Yeah. Now, here's the thing. We get busy. We've got kids, right? It's not that we don't have the desire. I think that, like, Casey and I really, as we were repairing our marriage and turning things around, we really still wanted to know each other. But it's just really, really hard to come up with questions after errands, kids. Oh, our firstborn had colic. I mean, we didn't sleep
Whoever was right here.
That's just a baby crying. We have teenagers now. So Casey's
they cry
like,
differently.
Casey's like, they cry differently, yes.
I'm bored.
Casey's like, oh my gosh, I haven't heard a newborn cry in so long. Because none of our friends have newborns. Anyways, so it's just funny because we haven't heard it cry for a while.
That's hard. That was a hard season. Kylie had colic and it was like, at the end of the day, you're just like, I need a break.
Yeah, yeah, it was rough. So it's not like you don't want to ask great questions, right? And so this is exactly why we wrote our book, 365 Connecting Questions for Couples. Like, literally, you open the book, and husbands love this, and you just read a question. Like, that's it. Like, and you just have this conversation, and you dialogue. And we'll tell you more about it, because we have some, like, free gifts and things like that. But this is really where I know you guys have this in you. I know your husbands want this.
Yeah.
You just need a tool.
Well, with that tool, by the way, because I get the feedback from husbands, it's like, this gives me quick wins in my marriage, because I don't have to come up and like think like, okay, good question, come to me, descend upon me like a dove. Like, I just point a question at, you know, like, here's the question for today, September 17th, you know? And also, by the way, sometimes, when you ask a question, I know the ladies are thinking this, what's the question behind the question?
Yeah.
Right? Especially when it comes to sex. Right? If there's a sex question, you're like,
what are you
really trying to get at here?
Yeah.
So it's really good to actually have like a neutral ground to go, I'm just asking the question, honey.
We always tell couples, blame Casey and Megan. Like, it's just Casey and Megan's question book. Just ask them, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. When your spouse asks them, you're like, what's your motive behind that? You know? Yeah, it's true. So.
Okay. So the first mindset, curiosity.
Curiosity.
Right?
Couples who are curious are healthy couples.
Desire, everybody wants to be desired, open-minded. This is everything. I want to know more. Okay, the second is this, intentionality. Now, kind of funny story, Marriage 365, when we first started doing marriages, we were like, Megan, the most important thing we need to have people know is they have to be intentional in their relationship. No more autopilot. So let's call ourselves intentional marriages. And Megan looked at me and she went,
boring. I get it, but it sounds boring.
She's like, so you have to be intentional like every day?
Like 365
like
days a year?
Marriage 365. So that was the whole point. So this is actually a huge like anchor point for us.
Yeah.
So what does intentionality mean? it speaks to the quality and direction of our mental state. Quality and direction of our mental state. So think quality, like is it low, high? Where am I heading? Direction. So let me give you two, like some, are you this or that? Are we being purposeful with our lives, or are we allowing life to carry us along? Right? Do we have purpose, or just kind of drifting down? Are we living proactive, or are we being reactive? Do we have direction? Like we're gonna end the year here, or are we just living on autopilot? We're just on survival mode. Which I loved, by the way, on the clip. All I hear is me, this. There's no we, there's no direction. Do you feel empowered to change your life? Or are you a victim of circumstances? Now that one right there has everything to do with our thought life. Do I just think of myself as a victim of circumstances, or do I actually have empowerment? So for example, I want to give you a couple of scenarios where intentionality is so key. Physical health, okay? If I wanted to improve my physical health, guess what? I don't just show up on a treadmill. Oh, what just happened? Well, this is great. Okay. No, I got to wake up early. I got to lace up my shoes. I got to drive to the gym. I have to be intentional about improving my physical health. If I want to be a great parent, okay, do you just become magically an amazing mom? No. You're here. You're talking to your mentors, your guides. You're listening to podcasts, reading books. You're talking to the ladies like, hey, so what do you do in this situation, right? That's how you become a great mom. You do not wake up magically being a great mom. If I want to win in my marriage, I cannot just pray that prayer. Lord, change Megan's heart so we have a great marriage.
That's what he did for 3 years and then didn't do a darn thing about it.
Yeah. I was a youth pastor too, so you'd think I'd actually know what was going on. But I'd just be like, Lord, Jesus, I just pray for a great marriage. But I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. So do you think that God just descended peace without me doing anything? No, I had to be intentional. I had to invest time, money, resources, create space. How many of you guys have an amazing engagement story? Anybody? Okay. Couple of you? Okay. I have a pretty cool engagement story. Can I just tell you real quick?
A story or like an engagement, like proposal?
Yes, an engagement proposal. Oh, gotcha. Yes. Did I miss a word?
Like, well, no, just like engagement. Like the whole time we were engaged was not amazing for me.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
I'm like, where's
an
he
amazing
going with this?
Proposal story. Sorry. That was, thank you. That's, you know what? That's why you're here. Aww. If I was here, they'd be lost.
Well, he's a loose cannon, and sometimes he'll share things publicly, and it'll totally embarrass me, and I'm not ready for it. So I didn't know where he was going with it, so keep going. Sorry. We're good. Okay.
Okay, so I wanted to impress Megan, bleach tips and all.
That picture was the night we got engaged, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had no clue. I was 19 November 1st. Years old. I had no idea. Marriage
November 1st.
November 1st. That was
yeah, because the night before, you were Barbie and I was Ken.
For Halloween.
Yeah. There you go.
And we won a costume contest at Vanguard. Way before the Barbie and Ken movie.
So I made dinner reservations. We got engaged on Balboa Island, and I had her best friend like set up a camera so we get the whole thing. And then I threw, this is how confident I was, okay? Better say yes. I threw a surprise engagement party.
With 150 people. Yeah.
Could have been really awkward and a memory for other people in a different way.
If I had said no.
But I was very intentional. So does that make sense? The mindset is, I want to build, if you want to build anything great or something that lasts, I have to be intentional.
And I will say, you did this when you were dating. You and your husband did this when you were dating. Because if your husband asked you on a date and he was on his phone the entire time and like didn't make a dinner reservation or whatever, you'd have been like, dude, this guy's out, right? Even like, this guy's a loser. No, he didn't do that. He was intentional. And then the next time he's like, okay, hey, we should go to the beach or we should go here, whatever it is, right? But he was intentional. And that's what made you go on the second date, the fifth date, the 10th date, whatnot. If they were lazy when you were dating, you would have never got married. I'm telling you this now, it's such a turnoff. And that's why intentionality, when we make effort, we just want our spouse to make effort, right? Like, it just shows you care. I go back to curiosity, intentionality. Like, if you just did those things a little bit every day, I'm telling you, we wouldn't have as many divorces as we do now. But we just get comfortable. And I have a list here. We get busy. That's, like, my number one. I'm just a really busy person. None of you are busy, right? Yeah. We get comfortable. We get distracted, you guys, our phones, TV, social media, video games, whatever it is, right? Like, we just get distracted. Are you distracted right now? We become parents. You know, one of the big things that we all struggle with is having a child-centered marriage. And I know that I work with a lot of men every single day, and they're like, I feel like I'm nothing for my wife. Like, I think the kids are her everything, and it's really hard. It's not to convict you. It's not to make you feel bad. I think it's just natural. Like, the kids are demanding, and they need us. And so we have to find that balance of finding those small moments with our spouse. We go on autopilot. I struggle with this too. I can just kind of go on autopilot and just kind of go through the motions of life. I have to really step in and go, okay, wait, what's working? What's not working? How's my marriage? And really be intentional with that. I think we don't really find a lot of resolution with conflict in our marriage. And when there's that emotional hurt and resentment and unforgiveness, whether it's with him or both of you or whatnot, it's really hard to be intentional when you're hurting. It's really hard, right? And then I think a lot of times, I will say, I think we struggle with not knowing how to actually be intentional. Like, I get it, Casey, Megan, like, I want to be intentional. This sounds great. But, like, how, right? And it's one of those things I want to say. It's not like we're intentionally being unintentional. I'm not waking up every day going, I'm just not going to make effort in my marriage. I don't believe any of you say that. But because of all the reasons I just listed, that's the problem. Like, that's where we get into, right?
So I think what happens is we get knocked off by just one degree when we start off. And there's something called the law of 1 in 60. For every 60 miles you go, if you are one degree off, you're off by a mile. Which means if you set course for Hawaii, you'd miss the islands by over 100 miles. Just one degree. One degree. And I think that that's kind of where things creep up. And again, if we're not intentional, if we're just on autopilot, we can find ourselves completely missing the goals that we have, the dreams that we have of happily ever after, of one day being empty nesters, the season's over, and doing life together with your best friend. Yeah. So I don't know who all is in this room. And I'm sure, again, that there may be some of you that are just, you know what? We're stuck in hurt. We're stuck right now. I don't feel the feels. And I get that. And this is really, I really want to call on one of, as we're thinking about being intentional, I'm always thinking about, like, when you guys started as a couple. And what's really cool is, a little known fact is, I've actually gotten the honor to officiate weddings. I officiate weddings, and it's like, for me, it's like I'm the OBGYN of marriages.
Wow.
Yes. Here is your baby.
He's officiated over 1,000 weddings. It's a lot.
Yeah. Oh. That's when I had less gray in my beard. And one of my favorite things that I call out during the wedding is this. Your vows. Your vows, they're not cheap promises. They're not cheap words. And I would say that vows in the wedding are the centerpiece of everything. Because family and friends have gathered to celebrate your promising to each other. And everything that leads up to the vows is kind of the crescendo. You do the vows. Like, are you ready to do this? I do. Okay, great. Here we do it. The vows, and then we're going to use rings to serve as a reminder for your vows. Rings to serve as a reminder of your? There you go. Exactly. Everything culminates around vows. And you know what you said in your vows? In sickness and in health. The good times, the bad times. Right? For rich, for poor. And I love this. No matter what comes our way, which kind of is the blanket statement, for as long as we both shall live. That is the beauty behind our vows. And so practically, what does that look like? If curiosity is all about, hey, asking open-ended questions is the spark of curiosity, what does it mean to be intentional? The simple takeaway this morning is this. You have to make time. You have to block, protect, and almost like, oh, we are protecting this time. The kids can be okay in front of the iPad for 15 minutes. We need time. We need to connect and align, okay? Like, that is so critical.
Yeah, every Sunday night, we sit down and we do something called a weekly marriage business meeting. Ooh. Where we go through the logistics. And that's when we actually put time in our calendars. Because here's the thing. If you don't put it in your calendar, it's probably never going to happen. And we call it, like, a talk conversation where, like, you and your husband sit down and you're like, okay, babe, we've been disconnected. We've been in a child-centered marriage. Heard these speakers. I'm all motivated. And you're like, yeah, we're good. You're all aligned, right? And you've had those conversations. And then a week goes by. Nothing really happens. 2 weeks go by. You fall back in the same rhythms. That's because it wasn't put in your calendar. And I always say this. If you have time to watch sports, you have time for your marriage. If you have time to scroll on social media, you have time for your marriage. And if you have time to watch TV or listen to podcasts, you have time to work on your marriage. Because it really doesn't require 3, 4, 5 hours on a date. And now, if you can do that, that's awesome. We're all for that. But I understand that in this season, sometimes it was a 5-minute walk, a 10-minute walk, but something is better than nothing. It has to be.
Can I just say, your husbands, they don't want to, I always crack jokes because I always think the ladies want to sit over with tea and crumpets and say, oh my gosh, spill the tea. What's going on in your life, honey?
Okay. Spill the tea.
Us guys, we do want to connect with you, first of all. That is an absolute thing.
Can you repeat that?
We want to connect.
They do.
Yeah. That is like 100%. I've never met a guy that's like,
how.
I don't want to. There's usually hurt, anger that's kind of preventing it.
Or they don't know how, they feel insecure, and so they're not going to initiate it. Just
FYI. Right.
That's a whole other thing.
Walking is a great way because, like, once we're walking, it's kind of like we start engaging different parts of our body. So good around activity.
Yeah.
So, intentionally is creating this purpose, this plan, this space, and then it's really obviously finding resources.
Yeah.
To help you build that.
Yeah. Okay? It's okay to say we don't know how. Let's use tools. Okay. Now I know I'm talking about our book again, but here's what I can guarantee: if you are curious and intentional, and you ask open-ended questions, you ready? I have a slide. You can get your phones out and take a picture, because this is backed by science and scripture, okay? You are going to get more connection. Because if you think about it, you're sitting right now with girlfriends and you're asking each other open-ended questions. It's what you're doing. It's when your kids get older. Oh my gosh, you guys, the teenage years, I'm telling you, people might say they're bad. They're our favorite so far, I know. If you nurture this now, oh my gosh, it's incredible, because you can have incredibly deep conversations with your teenagers. Ask Rachel, our daughter asks us, our 16-year-old junior in high school, there are no questions off limits. That's a whole other thing if you want to hear.
You're going to get laughter and fun. Now, yep. I will tell you, if marriage was all work and no play, fun, I wouldn't show up.
Yeah.
So
it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
No, but fun is the F word that I wish more couples had. Speaking of F words.
You're going to have more sexual intimacy, right? If we know each other and we're talking and we're learning and you know each other's feelings and desires and fears and concerns, it tends to show that, right, more emotional intimacy leads to more sexual intimacy.
I always tell my husbands, I'm like, dude, you got to pick up this book. Yep. If you initiate this book, she's just going to be like, you ready to jump in there? Come on, let's go.
Oh, I don't know about that every time.
Not every time.
But I love that you think that.
I do open the book and say, hey, baby. Foreplay. This is foreplay.
It is, actually. It is. It's good. Hey, it is. It's part of foreplay. I think you're going to get healing, right? I think when you're asking these questions and you're leaning into uncomfortable conversations, you're going to get to heal. And not just heal like in your marriage, but actually heal some like, how many of you have like us, like childhood drama, childhood baggage you brought into the marriage? Like, you got to talk about those things, you know? I know it's okay not to be proud to say that, but I think you do need to own it and be like, I have childhood baggage. My parents didn't do a great job, and I've had to spend a lot of time and money fixing their issues. Truly, we both have.
Yeah.
Like, it'll bring healing to your relationship.
Okay, this word right here is so important. Trust.
Yep.
Okay? I was led to believe that love is all you need. Have you ever heard that saying? If it's true love, it shouldn't be this hard. Yeah. Like, I thought love is the center of our relationship. And I'm here to tell you, it's not. Trust. Trust is the center foundation of your relationship. Because trust shows us who is safe enough for us to love. So, building trust in your relationship, when you're starting to asking these open-ended questions and you're spending time together, that's building trust because you're showing up.
And last but not least, momentum. Ooh. It's quick wins. It's like, okay, like we had this conversation about his childhood, or we talked. There's fun questions in the book too. But even when you just ask these things, you're like, okay, we can do this. That's right. We still love each other. We still like each other. We can still have conversations.
Yes. So let me just end with this. How do we know that this works? Well, actually, it was pretty cool because we were just at the Chick-fil-A Foundation Center.
They have like this really cool retreat center in Georgia. We were there all last week.
And there was a Harvard researcher that showed up. And Harvard is actually conducting one of the longest research studies on human thriving and happiness. It's over 80 years. It's the longest study that's ever been done. And they're on their third generation of studying people through their life. Wealth is, what creates happiness? Is it wealth?
Is it career? Right. They're asking all these questions.
Accomplishments? Is it achievements?
They're following these people. It's called a longitude test, we learned.
Longitude.
Following them through life. So it's pretty cool.
Longitude. So that's just a funny word. Longitude. No? Me? Only? Okay. So anyways, what they've discovered is this. Connection. Yep. Relationships.
Surprise.
And again, they tied that back to that without relationships, like, it's worse to your health than smoking and drinking.
What are the two greatest commandments? Love God and what? Love others. Isn't it interesting that God chose the greatest commandments are relational commandments? Again, it's like he knew what he was doing.
Well, let me ask you a question. Who asked the most questions in the Gospels?
Jesus.
Right?
Jesus asked the most questions.
He was always asking great questions, right?
It's so cool, you guys.
Who do you say I am?
Yeah. It's so amazing. It's just incredible. So we wrote this book. We self-published this book back in 2018. I know a couple of you came up to say hi. How many of you have this book? A few of you do. Woohoo! Okay. And then this really amazing thing happened. We were able to sell 100,000 copies to 72 different countries on our own. Like, that's God. That's not Casey and Megan. And this publishing company called Penguin Random House, ever heard of it? Reached out to us this year and said, we'd like to buy your book. Which, by the way, is a secular, publishing company, and said, we want to put it in Target, Walmart, Costco. Like, we want to put it everywhere. And so we revised it. We wrote 200 new questions, and guess what they asked for? They asked for two bonus sections. One is on faith and spirituality. You guys, this is huge. Like, the world wants this. That's what's so cool about it. And the second bonus section is on parenting. Just saying there. So there's over 200 questions. So this bad book, this is the new book. Yay. So let's see. Old book, new book. Here, you'll be my model. So here's what's really cool about this. So this book, the new book, comes out technically December 3rd, but you can pre-order it. Like, literally, I like it. Zoolander style. I like it. We love Zoolander. And so if you're saying, why would I buy it now? Why don't I just wait until December 3rd when it's in the stores or I can buy it? Because not only you get $348 worth of valuables. And by the way, Rachel videoed a lot of this stuff, so yay to Rachel. But you get all these freebie gifts. They're all online. So you get, like, we have this really cool romance revival kit. Let me tell you, husbands are liking it. The video is called How to Beat Bedroom Boredom, and we give you tons of practical things to do to beat bedroom boredom. Fun, like, worksheets and activities to do with your spouse that will really just bring more romance and joy and whatnot. You get more bonus questions, and then you get a video, a masterclass with us. So here's what's even cooler, because we love you guys, and this was just a really great idea that I felt like Rachel was part of. She's like, well, what if people pre-order the book today, and they show up on their phone, and they go to the book table, we're going to give you this one for free. Because we can't sell these legally anymore. Anyways, the couple's book, because Penguin Random House now owns it. And we're like, well, let's just give it to them for free.
Tell them what they're going to get, Megan.
So does that make sense? So if you scan this QR code and you just buy it on Amazon, it will be shipped to you December 3rd. Show us with your phone at the back table, and we will give you this for free. You could give this as a gift. You could say, hey, well, let's not wait till December 3rd for this one. Let's go through these questions. You can save them for both. But Christmas is around the corner, so this is a really great gift to give, like, in-laws and friends and whatnot. So all that to say, yeah.
Hannah, do we have a slide with a QR code?
I think she's working on it.
Boom! There you go.
Yeah. So, and we have that on our back table if you want to scan it. But here's what I'm going to say is husbands typically don't read marriage books. This is really important to understand, ladies. And publishers know this, and they market. They know that 90% of marriage books are written for females, and a husband will never read it. Isn't that sad? 90%. Our book is 50-50. 50% are females and 50% are males. It's literally for couples. We wrote it with that intention. I don't want to write a marriage book that is going to be sitting on a coffee table. I want it to be picked up. And of course, you can go over it year after year after year, because your questions to your answers to these questions will change. So
we even made the cover cool. Like, it's not
And listen, if you don't get our books, here's what I want you to, that's fine. We support your marriage no matter what. We have tons of resources. Marriage365.com is our website. But here's what I want to say. Ask open-ended questions. If you can come up with them, great. That's awesome. Go for it. Do it. But if you need help, or you want something, you're like, I've never asked that, or I want my husband to initiate a question, this is a great tool. And again, husbands just really appreciate having tools. I think us ladies do too. We're busy. We got kiddos. And then the other thing is we have a question book for families, and it's G-rated. By the way, our couples book is rated R. Like, if your kids can read, there are sex. I just say, it's rated R, meaning, like, there's sex questions. So I just, we've had lots of people go, oh, well, my six-year-old that just started reading said, what's an orgasm? So just FYI, I don't recommend the couple's book staying on your coffee table. Just maybe put it in your nightstand or somewhere else. But our family's book is G-rated, and it's all these open-ended questions, you guys, to do at dinner table or drop-off. And really, like, kids at ages of, like, 3 or 4 are like, it's the red cover, by the way. And they're like, will you bring out the red book? They call it a bunch of kids around the world call it the red book. And then we've got a book on self-discovery. This is for, like, small groups, journal prompts, if maybe a life group. It's really just something that you're like, I want to just learn more about myself. And then we've got a couple books back there for dating and engaged couples. That's it.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, ladies.